Hey, welcome to the Listen Bitch podcast. This is your go-to destination for unlocking your full potential and embracing the extraordinary possibilities within you. Thank you for joining me today on a journey of self-discovery and empowerment as we explore the transformative power of stepping into greatness. Come into alignment with the God-given gifts, unleash your soul, and learn to co-create a life that you love. As you become a writer of your own destiny, here on this podcast, you're going to find the inspiration, practical tips, and that sometimes abrasive nudge to take the leap of faith towards your dreams. You are in the right place. Buckle up so we can unleash your inner badass. What's up, you guys? I'm so excited. I have a new guest for you all today. She is a best international best-selling author, book Voices of the 21st Century. She has lived in five different countries. I know words today, you guys. I can speak English. Okay. She has lived in five different countries, and she has her own podcast called Global Citizen Life. She is out here helping people to live their best life anywhere. And I believe she's doing that by example as well. So you guys, please welcome Sally Peterson. Hi, Sally.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me today.
I'm very excited. So we're just going to dive right in because I feel like that's the best. Like, let's just get into
the
deep
end. That's right.
Tell us who you are, some background of your story. And all the things.
All right. Well, you know, things kind of started a long time ago when I was a teenager is really when I kind of realized from Canada. I remember one day at school, I was outside and it must have been one of those cold Canadian winter days, snow on the ground, just awful. And I remember saying to my friends at the time, I think I've been switched at birth. And they all looked at me shocked with big eyes. They're like, what? Your parents aren't your parents? And I said, well, not the literal aspect, but I just said, I just don't feel like I'm meant to live here my entire life. And it could be a little bit because my dad was born in the Netherlands and immigrated to Canada. So maybe I did have that kind of genetic thing. But then fast forward several years, you know, life happens. And then I decided it was time for me to leave. And that was back in about 2011. I decided it was time to leave Canada. And I'll be honest, like, I hate winter. I don't know how anybody enjoys minus 20, minus 30 degrees
Celsius
weather. Yeah, my
husband's with you. My husband can agree with you. I like all the seasons, but yeah, Canada's the negative 20s I couldn't do. I'm your neighbor in Michigan, but we don't have.
So you know cold.
I know cold,
so you know cold there too. Yeah. But yeah, and so so my first move abroad was to Costa Rica.
Nice.
I had a place down there. And at the time I moved, my daughter was 13. So it was me, my daughter, and our dog. Didn't know anybody, didn't speak Spanish. I mean, I didn't even know where she was going to go to school. And the school year had just started. So it was kind of one of those, I always say to people, don't do things the way I do it. Because I really just don't do it mostly thought out and the best way. But that was kind of the start of my journey. She ended up coming back to Canada. And I stayed there for, I think, an additional year. And then I got bored because then I was like, wow, I'm turning 40. I'm an empty nester. What am I going to do with my life?
Right.
And so I traveled for a bit. And then I've also lived in Spain and Montenegro as well. And then when she was younger, we briefly lived in Italy for a while. So those are kind of the all five places that I've lived. So, and I just think, in so many ways, like, the world is so small. Like, it's so big, but it's so small.
Oh, yeah.
And there's just, you know, life is short. I've unfortunately had many people pass in my life already. And it just always makes me realize, like, life is short. If you don't like where you're at, you can change it. We are not stuck anywhere. And people ask me too, when I move, they're like, aren't you worried? What if you don't like it? What if you hate it? And I said, easy. I just leave.
Yeah.
Like, no, I wasn't stuck in Costa Rica. I wasn't stuck in Spain. I'm not stuck in Montenegro. I mean, we can, and sometimes it's, you know, a caveat, of course, sometimes it takes time and money or expenses. And when you have family and young kids, there's other things to consider as well in schools and stuff, but nobody's stuck anywhere. The only place we're truly stuck is in our head.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What's been your favorite place to live?
Ooh, I mean, my favorite place is a place I wouldn't live, ironically. I love it. I love Italy. I absolutely loved it. I've loved
Okay.
it for so long, but I have it on a pedestal, and I know I do, and I'm okay with that. So every time I go, it's been my most visited country, and I absolutely love it. But I know what happens when we live places. Reality sets in, day-to-day life sets in, the cracks within the system, whether it's the tax system, the healthcare system, the public transportation system, like we see those cracks. And because I love Italy so much, I don't want to see those cracks. So I am aware of it. But, you know, and there's pros and cons to everything. Like everywhere I've been, there's been things about it that I love and things that I don't really enjoy because there is no perfect place in the world.
How do you balance like that desire for adventure and kind of our human adventure and new experiences and like that human desire? I think we all have that little bit of desire for a little bit of stability and structure and routine. How do you balance those things?
It's really hard. I basically, I've been saying for probably the last 3 years of my life, I need to find balance because I find my life is a bit like a pendulum where I'll travel and I'll go months at a time and travel and live out of my suitcase and be different places. And then all of a sudden I'm just exhausted. And then I'll be at a place and I'll look at, you know, one of the main touristy places and look at it and go, so what? What's the big deal about that? And then I know I've been traveling too much. And then I'll settle down. And I won't have any travel plans. And I'll be somewhere for a few months. And then I start to get bored. And so that is a very, very difficult thing for me because of my work. I can be anywhere. And I've kind of designed my life intentionally to be that way. But I do struggle with that part of community, being around friends, and then making new friends, but missing my old friends. And yeah, that kind of digital nomad life becomes hard. So my kind of, I think, ideal for me is if I had three homes, one in a different country, so three different countries, which I would have to choose which ones, and then to have like community there and kind of go between those places because it is hard.
What are the things that have you packing your bags and leaving? Like, when do you decide, okay, I'm done, this isn't working, I'm going somewhere else? Like, what are the pivotal moments there?
I think because I'm just so used to change, when I run out of new things, and I've seen, not that I've seen everything in Spain, but so I was living in Barcelona and I still go back quite often and visit friends. But once I just start to feel bored. That day-to-day routine is very monotonous for me. And once I've been doing it for too long, then it's either I need a trip to go somewhere. And I've been doing a little bit better with my balance between Montenegro and Barcelona. Because Montenegro, I live in a small town called Budva, which is beautiful. It's along the sea and it's such a beautiful country, but it's so small. The population is roughly 650,000 people for the entire country. So not just the town, like the entire country. So it's really small, but I love it because my place is surrounded by mountains. I have the sea. It's relaxing. It's everything. But then I get bored. So then it's nice because then I can just hop on a flight. I go to Barcelona. I see my friends. There's lots of people. There's always stuff going on. And then after a while, I'm like, whoa, 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 I need a break from this. And then I'll skip back to Montenegro. So I'm finding some balance with that. But then there's always a part of me that knows, like, there's the entire world to see. And I haven't spent much time in Asia and I've spent no time in Africa. And yeah.
What are the fulfilling moments that you have in going to all of these places?
I would say, I mean, there's quite a few. There's so many amazing people in the world and so many great and interesting and just different traditions and different points of view and different perspectives. And I think one thing with travels that it really opens that up because we get propaganda no matter what country we live in. Like we get the media propaganda. So like in Canada and the US, it's kind of like, oh, Canada's the best. The US is, oh, we're the greatest country in the world. And you know, every country has their own bits of propaganda and their own bits of how every other country is bad. But the reality is, I find every country to be so much better than what the media portrays. And so I'm a little bit anti-mainstream media because of how they portray things. And
I'm a
I've
lot anti-mainstream media. So you're in safe company here.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when I was in Barcelona and we had the terrorist attacks in Barcelona several years ago. And then there's some protests and stuff after. And I had friends call me saying, "Oh my gosh, are you okay? The protests in Barcelona, like city's on fire." And I said,
Yeah.
"What?" I said, "I just walked 45 minutes across the city. I didn't see or
Nothing's
hear
going
or
on.
smell, like
Yeah.
nothing."
Yeah. Oh,
And
yeah.
so it's too bad because there are so many great things. And so I love that. And then food, just different types of food, and just to have conversations with people because I'm very open-minded and I love to have what some people would call arguments. I don't call them arguments, but I call them like intense conversations with
Yes.
somebody who has a different belief than me. And the easiest thing I always ask is, why do you think that? Why do you believe that? And the best ones is when they can truly explain why and not just say because it's true, because
Right.
that's a cop out. And I have learned so much and I've just thought, wow, if I had that life experience, if I lived that way, if I was taught that, if I grew up there, I would probably have those same beliefs as well. So it made me really realize a lot that my beliefs aren't right, but they're not wrong either. They're just
Right.
mine from my experience. And that's the same with many people around the world. They're not right, they're not wrong. They're there because of their experience. And it really makes you realize like how much good there are in the people and how much people really genuinely kind of
Yeah.
want the same things.
Yep. I agree with that. Was there like a transformative experience or moment that inspired, the writing of the books or the podcast to share your journey?
Well, in part, I guess I just think like I'm nobody special. And if I'm, doing these things and one, so with my business that I have Global Citizen Life, what I really do is try to help people diversify globally. And that means by their business to reduce their taxes to zero single digits, protect their assets, invest in other countries, just because our home country, maybe the economy is doing well now, maybe it's not. There's other economies around the world. Right. And we can have that globally. We can get different citizenships and residencies and live wherever we want. And that kind of started, as I said, as a kid in the wintertime here. But then also at one time I was audited by the Canadian government with my at the time rental property in Costa Rica. And I did everything the way I was supposed to. I claimed my income, I claimed some deductions for pool maintenance and all that kind of stuff. And basically, 3 years later, they said, "We're auditing you." I'm like, "Fine, I don't care. Go ahead." And so, long story short, they came back and said, "Well, we're going to accept all your income, but we're not going to accept any of your deductions. So, therefore, you now owe us X amount of money. Plus, since it was 3 years ago, then they charged me interest on that
Penalties.
3 years." And I'm like, "I didn't even, because I even gave them my receipts from my property management company.
Right.
Like, it was all." And so, that was a big turning point when I thought, wait a minute, I'm going to learn. Like, we hear about how these rich millionaires and big businesses pay very little taxes
Yep.
percentage-wise. And then that's when I really kind of started looking into that. I was still living here in Canada, but then when I got tired of Canada as well and moved, that kind of really kind of moved
Propelled
me
you.
forward.
Yeah.
And then the massive turning point too, then when I started really doing it as a business and not just personally, was after the pandemic and the Canadian government. I don't know if you remembered when we had the trucker
Oh,
protest
yeah.
and the Canadian government started freezing bank accounts of people who were protesting, freezing bank accounts of people who were supporting the protesters. And I couldn't believe it. Like, we
Yeah.
have a right to protest, and you're going to freeze bank
Right.
accounts. You're going to say you're not going to give people their passports if they protest. Like, what kind of
Right.
control is that? And I thought, no, that's ridiculous. And so,
Yeah.
kind of those parts were all turning points to then how I then changed to make what I was doing and the lifestyle that I was living to a business to help people do it, and to different degrees. Some people still want to stay in Canada or the US. Some are waiting for their kids to graduate before they decide to spend more
Right.
time abroad. Some just want to diversify and protect their assets.
And that I have a lot of friends that live in other countries just for that reason. It is definitely like it comes down to protecting your money. And I think that we should. I guarantee that a lot of the you know, seven figure and above earners do better things with their money than the government's ever going to do with their money.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely. Like if I want to donate to charities and things like that, I can, and the government just takes it and they spend it on, or in some cases, you know, they go to help other countries, which was great, but then they give away billions of dollars that they don't know where the billions of dollars went to.
Yeah. We're all scratching our head with that one. And it's infuriating. And I think if anything, if you guys are going to get anything from this podcast episode right now, it is to, you're not doing anyone any favors staying broke. You should have money that you can do something with. You can make a difference with your own money. And then you want to leverage and put yourself in a position where the government can't get their hands on it. I agree. Like, let's pay our state taxes. Okay. I want the potholes in my road fixed. Like, that's
of
bullshit.
Course.
But I'm not spending money to send money to other people or to invite people across our borders and reward them for, you know, doing what they shouldn't be doing in the first place. Like, it
exactly.
It is definitely frustrating, but the best thing you can do at this point is to take massive responsibility for your finances.
And use them the way you want. Like, I agree, you know, we need roads, we need bridges, schools and education. Like, absolutely, there's some of that. But the amount that we give to the government, and just, it's the amount that they waste. If they were good with it, then fine. But it's the amount that they waste. But just how they threaten. If you protest, we're going to freeze your bank account. So you can't buy groceries. You can't pay your mortgage. You can't do anything. And what? They want you to go bankrupt? Right. Or we're not going to give you a passport. So you can't leave this country because you've done something we don't like. Even though they do all kinds of things that we don't like.
Exactly. And it doesn't make sense. Like, this could be a whole government rant right now, because it doesn't make sense. Like, how does the government know everything about us? We know nothing about them. It should be the opposite. The government works for us.
Right.
And I have a whole other podcast that I put on hold because I was getting so pissed off. But it is a political podcast where I don't care who you are. I don't care if the president I voted for was a president right now. The government still doesn't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you.
Right.
And majority of them, I mean, how are they getting so rich? I want to know what they're doing to get so rich.
Like, that's because they invest and have stocks into companies that they know are going to get government contracts and deals and things.
Like,
so it's
COVID,
basically insider trading, is it not?
COVID was a massive insider training money laundering process. I think that
absolutely.
Was a whole, it's just insane to me. And it's insane to me that more people don't speak up and have these conversations, you know? They don't give a shit. Let's talk about TikToks being shut down. What?
Who cares about TikTok?
Can we talk about
you should be thinking about your business and making money and what you're going to invest in and what you want to do and how you can make a difference in the world, whether it's, you know, giving to charities. There is one, I can't think of it now, but they have helped people with water in Africa.
Yeah.
Like, if that's what you like, great. I would rather do that than give it to the government to blow on their personal vacations or with their friends or the food that they have to have catered on their airplane.
Exactly. There's this lady I found. She actually does this thing because I am pro-life, and she does this. She has this van where she drives around and, like, you know, crackhead moms and people that just shouldn't be having kids. She ties their tubes.
Good.
Because our doctors make a huge deal about that. You can't do it if you're a certain age. You can't do it for whatever. I feel like the first time you're in that hospital and you give birth to a crack baby, you lose all your female parts.
All your rights.
Like, you lost your privilege to have a baby ever again. And instead of putting the risk of you getting pregnant and, you know, either having an abortion or putting it up for adoption, or it's born on drugs or in the system, whatever that is, just, you shouldn't even get a chance anymore. So that's where my money would go. And I love our Underground Railroad too. Like, they're breaking up sex trafficking. They're doing a lot to protect our babies, really. I love it because the internet is full of people who can say a lot of shit. So I love it when I see that people are trolling someone who went and bought a really flashy car. They're like, you could help so many people with that money. And I'm like, how, Like, you're going to be pissed because someone's got a car, a nice car, and they could have fed how many homeless people, but how many people are you feeding on what you're making? So, it, like I said,
and they've worked for it. If they want to have a flashy car, go ahead, have your flashy car. Like, when you work for it, you deserve to do what you want with your money. And for some who still want to give it to the government, go ahead. But for me, I don't want to. I want things where I can do what I want, where I want with my money, and make a difference in things that I like and believe in and want to support.
Yes. That is how it should be. I firmly believe that. And the truth is, it's not your fault if you're born broke, but it is your fault if you stay there.
Absolutely.
It's on you. But
there's so much opportunity now. Like, you can learn anything on the internet. Now, obviously, there's a lot of garbage on the internet too.
Yeah.
But truly, anybody can learn anything right now to improve their life. And sure, it's going to take time, because we're learning new things, but in time, I mean, just get off TV, get off TikTok, get off YouTube, unless you're using it to educate yourself. I love YouTube. I learn a lot of things from it. But there's no excuse. Sure, you might not have time, and maybe you're tired for the next 5 years because you sleep less.
Yeah.
But everybody has 24 hours in a day. So how can somebody, you know, like, let's Oprah Winfrey, for example.
Yeah.
Grew up very, very poor. And now look at her, you know, and she's just one example of many that grew up very poor, and they have the same 24 hours in a day, same things that we had, the same kind of opportunities. If we're talking to North Americans right now, you know, so there's really no excuse other than you as the person listening, like, I am completely responsible for my life. Nobody else. I can give all kinds of excuses. They're only excuses. If I don't do what I need to do, then I have nobody to blame but myself. And the problem is people don't want to take responsibility, and it's easier to blame instead of saying, oh shit, maybe I was lazy, or maybe I wasted time, or, you know, whatever their excuse is.
And that's a fact. If you have an excuse right now, if you're listening to this and you're like, right away, I can already, you know, some of my audience, I imagine when you're first talking about the traveling, most of them are not in that position, right? So right away, I guarantee there was something that flipped in their brain, like, oh, this can never be me. But it could be. It could be. And whatever excuses you had, you know, make it had. I had the excuse that I would never do this. There is no age limit. And getting to do all these podcast interviews, I'm meeting a lot of people that are like 50, 60 years old, starting their life from that point, like where you are now. Take massive responsibility. You don't get to blame people. That doesn't propel you
at all. And even like to kind of jump back a bit to the traveling, when I first really started traveling and stuff, like, I've done a ton of travel. I've been to, I think, almost 50 countries, but a lot of it because I do house and pet sitting. So I stay in other people's houses and would take care of their dogs or cats while they were away. So I wouldn't have to pay for a hotel. I wouldn't have to be eating out. That saves so much money. So when, you know, there's a way to do it, to see
you just have to be
other
resourceful.
Places. Exactly.
Resourceful.
It's your resourcefulness that is what you have to look at. And I always say, when there's a will, there's a way.
Yes. Yes. A lot of people listening don't even go out in their community to meet new people. I am one of those guilty parties, okay? Not even going out in my own community to, you know, interact and do the things. I'm kind of I don't even know what you would call it. I'm in my bubble. So what are the things that you do when you're in a new country to meet new people? How do you throw yourself in the mix?
Oh, well, right away, what I do, and it's something that you have to be careful with, is I get into Facebook groups. And the only reason why I say you have to be careful with it, because there's always those negative Nancys in there. There's always some comments about, don't do this, why are you here, like everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you read through, you find some people and you find what events are going on. So if you like, I like hiking. So I would go into a Facebook group, for example, with Montenegro. And I would look at Montenegro hiking, and then I would see, obviously, that's for the whole country, but then to see what was maybe more in my area, or if they did hikes in my area, and I would go hiking and I wouldn't know anybody. And then that's how I got to know people. Depending upon where in the world they are, meetup.com is massive in Spain. Like there's thousands of groups, probably hundreds of stuff all the time going on. And so whether you like, there was like a one gin and jazz. You didn't have to drink gin, but there was jazz music and gin, and it was in a hotel, and they had like a monthly or a weekly event. And as a writer, I would meet up with writing groups. And as I said, with hiking, I mean, there's so much. So meetup.com. There's also another website called InterNations, and that's for expats and sometimes locals to meet in various countries as well. So you have to be a little bit outgoing, especially as an adult who doesn't have an office job to go to. Because when you transfer for work or you have kids, you meet other parents, coworkers, colleagues, and it is a little bit easier. So for somebody like me, I have to make it a point. I have to go out. I have to meet people. I look at those sites, who's doing what, and I talk to people. Like if I'm out at a restaurant, I'm sitting by myself, and there's somebody at a bar, and they're sitting by themselves, I'll just talk to people. Hey, hi, how are you? How's your day?
I love that. What I know to be true is that new experiences kind of bring out our insecurities and, our like moments of self-doubt. So what are the strategies that you use when you face some of those things in new situations?
Well, ironically, I still kind of have that sometimes when I go out to eat by myself. And I've been doing it for years, but every now and then I'll look at a place and be like, oh no, I don't want to be by myself. I don't. And I just, there's something that's like people don't know. Like I always think people think I have no friends. That's why I'm by myself. But when I go and everybody needs to eat, everybody, and you need to. So sometimes it's knowing that it's just me in my head. And we just kind of have to, like, you just have to do it and thinking it's not that bad. So, if I eat out, I'm there by myself. Sure, I might sit the whole meal by myself, or what I would have before is either bring a book with me if I want to read, or I can still be on my phone and do some stuff while I'm eating. If I'm at a table by myself and not at a bar, because usually then I'll sit at the bar so I can talk to the bartender or things like that. And it is uncomfortable, but everything was uncomfortable. We
Everything.
don't remember learning to walk, but think about riding a bike or going to school for the first day. If we're in a new school as a kid, the new job, like we just did it because we needed to do it. And if we just think about like, just do it. It's not that bad. It's not that scary. You're gonna meet people. We've done it before. And again, it's just in your head. And we just have to get out of our head and realize that becoming uncomfortable or being comfortable with uncomfortable is so good because it opens up a world of opportunities to us that, I mean, we're not going to have a great time if we're sitting at home watching TV. We're not going to see maybe those auras, if you're kind of in the northern part of the world when they come, or the shooting stars across the sky, or meeting people, if like whatever it may be. And I most recently I started taking boxing classes, so met a few girls in Montenegro. They were doing boxing. I was like, okay, like I don't box. I've done some cardio kickboxing at the gym, and I went there and I don't speak Montenegrin. Like I don't know any of it. I don't understand a word. And here, so I'm kind of watching what I need to do. They kind of come over and show because there's the three of us
I
that we
love
don't really speak. But and yeah, it was
that.
uncomfortable. And every time I go there, until my friends showed up, if I was there first, I'd be like, oh, this is kind of awkward. I'm just kind of waiting for class to start by myself. But once they show up, and then after a while, people, I've been there a few times, they say hi, and it becomes comfortable.
Everything new is uncomfortable. And I feel like you guys, I'm all about like self-confidence and working on who you are. And as a branding coach on the internet, teaching people to, make money online with a brand, part of the resistance is people are worried about what other people are going to think. And I feel like the biggest way to test yourself to get through that is to go eat by yourself. Go eat by yourself and look around at the people and imagine they're all talking shit about you. Like they're just talking shit. They're like, oh my God, how pathetic, she doesn't have friends. And I want you to think of the worst things they can say, because when it comes down to it, you're still going to get your meal, you're going to nourish your body, and you're going to walk the fuck out of there and not think twice about anybody that was in there. And that's how life is. Like they're going to
It's
talk
true.
about you, right? But it doesn't affect you. Like you're still going to do what you need to do. And I think that's a great way to build self-confidence. I think that's all y'all's homework. Okay. You need to go eat by yourself. Go out to eat by yourself. So many people can't do that.
So many can't. I remember I was in Dublin one time and I was at a pub by myself because it was, I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but it was one of the like really like world renowned pub. Everybody knew about it. And I was in there listening to music in different rooms. I'm just, you know, leaning up against the wall, drinking a beer by myself. And a girl comes over and she's like, "Are you here by yourself?" And I said, "Yes, I am." She's like, "Wow, that's amazing." I said, "Well, I'm here, but I'm listening to music. I can chat to other people, meet new people, and I'm here to enjoy the music too." So I've like, we've all been to a lot of people. I shouldn't say all, but been to clubs where the music's so loud, you can't even talk anyway. So really, what's the difference if you're there for music? And I have met so many people by doing stuff by myself that I know I never would have met if I would have even had one person with me. Because when we're with somebody, we're with that person, we're chatting, whether it's our best friend, spouse, whoever it may be, and we're in that conversation or we're just with them. But when we're by ourselves, we see other people that perhaps are by themselves. And I have struck up so many conversations, or people have struck up conversations with me. And I've had some incredible days or nights where people are like, "Oh, have you seen this? Let me bring you here. Oh, you need to check out this place." And it's absolutely incredible the more experiences you can have when you do things by yourself because of the people you will meet.
I love that. What are some of the everyday rituals or practices that you incorporate into your daily routine, no matter where you are? What are things that you take with you?
Definitely exercise. Exercise is part of one. So it could be, depending upon where I'm at, and I like to switch things up. So sometimes it will be going to a gym, and I could work out by myself doing weights, or what I like to do sometimes is take classes. Because if I'm going to be there for a little bit, then it's also a great way to meet people. Because at first you don't know anybody, you take a few classes after there a few times, see the similar faces and get to know people that way. And exercise is good. It makes you feel good. So that's definitely, or just to go jogging, and I'll go different ways to check out different things. So that is definitely a must. Otherwise, you know, when I'm in a brand new place, I'll see what type of walking tours that they have. And I know with them, I'm meeting other tourists and things, but then I'm getting to know a city and finding, oh, that's definitely an area that I want to go back to and check out more. And just to get a nice kind of feel or view for the city. And the larger cities have many walking tours. So those are great ways when I'm in a new city to kind of get a feel for things and maybe what areas I really like. That I want to go back to, and some that sometimes I see and I'm, oh, okay, that was okay, but not a place that I'm really too concerned to go back and maybe see more.
Right. What is your concept of home and how it evolves living that kind of nomadic global lifestyle?
That is a really good question. And it's always a very difficult one for me to answer. Even now, people will say, "Oh, well, where are you from?" I'm like, "Well, I'm from Canada because that's where I was born. But where do I live?" Oh, that's like, even now, I don't know how to answer that. I have residency in Spain. So I do spend a fair amount of time there. But I also have my place in Montenegro. Currently, though, I'm back in Canada. A couple of my family members are sick right now and not doing well. So I'm here for an undetermined amount of time. So probably several months. And then, you know, people are like, "Well, where are you going to go after?" I'm like, I don't know. So home is, for me right now, it's a tough one to answer. It's just kind of where I am at the moment. And I mean that for even kind of the past year with my traveling. And where I'm at, home is just, where I'm at and what feels good. And so when I'm in Barcelona, I say Barcelona's home. When I'm in Montenegro and I'm in Budva, Budva's home. Right now being in Canada, Canada's home. So it's kind of where I'm at in the moment.
Are you, I'm going to be nosy now. Are you in a relationship? Or are you single?
I'm single.
How do you navigate dating with this lifestyle?
I kind of don't.
It would be so hard. Just have a different hoe and different area
hard.
codes.
So when I was kind of living more full time in Barcelona, I dated for a little while, and I was dating somebody for about a year or two. And then, so I left Barcelona. I still stayed quite a bit in Spain, and we would still see each other when I would go back to Barcelona, because it was just one of those things of, look, I'm leaving. I can't expect anything. I don't expect anything, because I don't even know when I'm coming back.
Right.
And so, yeah, right now I'm not dating at all. Haven't been for a while. And in part, though, it's because I don't feel that I should be dating, because in a way, I feel like I'm a fraud if I go out and date to be like, oh yeah, hey, I want to go out, I want to meet people, but I don't know how long I'm going to be here. So don't really like me too much, and don't get attached, and I don't want to like you. So I'll kind of keep, you know, some space, even though you could be really amazing, but I don't know how long I'm going to be here. And so for me, I don't think it's fair to be dating because of that. But on the flip side, that I know if I met the right person, I would be willing to potentially stay somewhere more full time. But I know I still need to travel a fair amount throughout the year.
Right.
And so, yeah, I have a tough time with that. So for now, the easy answer is I'm not, and I don't until I kind of figure out where I want to be a little bit more.
Right. Tell me a little bit about your Voices of the 21st Century book. How did that come to life?
So that is a book that I co-authored with a number of other writers. And I was kind of approached about it because I said, you know, you have a very interesting life, and like you, the lifestyle you have and doing it as a single woman, people would maybe see it more of the male lifestyle, but also because of the work that I do with that. And they just said it's such an interesting story. And with that, it kind of gets more into my personal life, as to even more than what I said here about what really happened and why, and the moving.
Right.
And so, and working through those things and what caused me to move, and then really get into the business and doing what I'm doing now. So that was one. I'm actually working on another one that I'm co-authoring. That'll come out, I think it's in July, but it's, don't quote me on the title, but it's something like Sassy, Classy, and Badassy.
Oh,
so
sounds like it's on my alley.
that's one, again, co-authoring with that. So that I'll probably, that will be probably a little bit more focus on the badassy part, the international living, the tax part, the asset protection kind of part. So they're still my story, but in a little bit of a different way. And then I also have a book that I just wrote solely by myself, and it came out last year, was International Money Mastery. And that is about truly diversifying globally and the things for people to think about when it comes to having bank accounts in another country that you don't live in, asset protection, putting things in trusts, and a variety of things to really kind of protect themselves. So I find with each of these books, they're kind of like parts of my life that have kind of combined to be like me and what I do and how I live, and hopefully to help other people realize like there's so much opportunity out there. And I mean, we don't know what we don't know.
Yeah.
And so it's learning from others and, you know, hopefully making less mistakes, because as human beings, we have to kind of learn the hard way sometimes, but hopefully with less mistakes, and just helping people truly, what I say is to live your best life, whatever that is for you. I know my life and the way that I live is not ideal for a lot of people, and that's okay. Some of my best friends, like my one best friend, she is great at her job. She goes to work. She does it Monday through Friday, and she loves it, but it's so repetitive that I've said to her, like, I'd want to stab myself in the eye with a pencil.
Yeah.
Obviously not literally, but because it's so routine that I would just get so bored. But she loves it. She's like, I've got my job. I know what I'm doing. I'm really good at it. I know how much I'm getting paid. Like I have that consistency and I love it. And I said, that's great. And so, and we're like, she's one of my best friends, even though we live very different lives. And that's her best life. That's what she loves to do. And so with everybody, it's what is your best life? What do you want to do? What, you know, and even our best lives, we have days that we just hate and we have stuff that we don't want to do. I mean, it's never, you know, it's never absolutely perfect, but, and we have challenges and then we, life throws us curveballs. I didn't plan on being back in Canada right now, and it is what it is, and deal with it. And then I'll get back to wherever it's meant to be when it's meant to be.
I mean, I want to speak on that freedom aspect of the life that you've created. And I also want to know about the pivotal moment of you realizing that you define your best life, because social media, we're bombarded about what the perfect life is when we all know that that's bullshit. There's still a part of us that's looking at it like, oh my God, my life has to be this or it's not good. So yeah, I threw two things at you.
Well, and I like, so I agree with that on social media, because I know, I'm sure if I looked through my social media feed, it would look like I have the perfect life and it looks amazing. But we don't show the non-perfect things. We don't show the crap that we go through. You know, I still keep things, a lot of things very private, with mine, but I think a pivotal, I can't say there was really, it wasn't really one pivotal moment. So I'll try to sum up about 2.5 years of my life in a very short situation. So within about 2.5 years, so my husband had disappeared 7 years prior, and I had finally got a court ordered death certificate from that type of situation,
Disappeared, like literally
like
just
vanished, like
vanished.
murdered and body never found type thing. And so it was a really tough part, and I had been it, and so then, and I had just ended a relationship with somebody that I was
He's not
dating
buried
for,
in Costa Rica, is he, Sally?
no,
No, I'm
that was
just kidding.
before
No, I'm
Costa
just
Rica.
kidding. I'm just kidding.
And then, and so I was dating a guy for about 6 years, great guy, but I think I was the one that ended the relationship. And I think in part was because this all came up with then the court order and the death certificate and dealing with stuff. And I mean, he's a great guy, but I ended that relationship. And then about 6 months after, I kind of started dating somebody who I'd known for about 10 years, but then he died of an aneurysm. And then I was like, okay, I've had enough. I need to get out of Canada. I'm going to expand down to the United States with my company. I had a safety consulting and training company. And the guy who was going to be my partner a few days before I left said, well, I'll be your partner if, you know, we have to pretend that we're married, and I'll buy you a house. And, you know, we have to be like, because that makes a better, stronger business, and just like this bullshit, really. But the kicker was, if you're not happy in 5 years when your daughter's ready to graduate school and things aren't working out, I'll give you $2 million and we can just dissolve the business and
All
end
in.
things. And I was just like, no. Like, that's not happening. So those kind of four or five things, whatever they were, happened in the span of about 2 years. And I was just like, F you, North America. I'm out. Like, I am so done. And I literally packed up and moved to Costa Rica.
Yeah, I wouldn't bring
And
you after
that,
all that. That's a lot.
it was a lot. It was a lot. And I was just like, I'm out. Like, I'm done. Because either I go or I'll like I'm done. Like it was a really tough point. And then moved to Costa Rica, didn't know anybody, as I said, didn't speak the language, didn't even know where my daughter was going to school, and just kind of sorted things out. And it was kind of a new start. And then I felt like too there that, because I always kind of knew that I wasn't supposed to be in Canada, there was that feeling from when I was a kid, and I just met so many people there that were from other countries and didn't, you know, want to be in their home country and things. And then that's where I was like, wow, there's so many people like me who want to move abroad and live in different countries and things like that. And not just because they're transferred for work and they have to, like they wanted to go and they want these different experiences and things. So that was kind of the turning point, but it wasn't just one incident. that made
you had a window of what you desired and you saw that it was possible, which is why I tell people all the time, you have to find the people that are doing what you want. You know, if you want to be a stay-at-home mom, find someone who is crushing that
absolutely
business. You know, if you want to travel the world, then you find someone who's traveling the world.
Yeah. And don't, one big thing too, is I say to people, like, you know, we talk to our family, we talk to our friends, and that's great. But honestly, don't take serious advice from somebody who doesn't have the life that you want.
Oh, say that again.
Because if I took the advice of some, like my one of my best friends, like, of course we bounce ideas and vent and things like that, but her decisions have given her the life that she has. So her advice to me would give me the life that she has. So if I want a different life, I need to find somebody, and maybe it's lifestyle, values, could be religion, could be political, could, like, whatever the life that you desire, you need to find people who live that life that you desire, and then be around them, talk to them, and take advice from them, because that's what's going to get you the life that you desire, not somebody who has no idea. I had, when I first bought my place in Montenegro, a friend of mine, he was like, oh, you're so crazy. Why would you buy a place in Montenegro? Like, that's ridiculous. Yeah. And I looked at him and I said, have you ever even been to Montenegro? And he said, no. And I said, have you ever even bought an apartment or a house yourself? And he said, no. And I said, then you need to shut up. I have bought and sold places. I have been to different countries. I have been there. Like, why would I listen to you? You know nothing about the country. You don't even ever, you've never even bought a house in your entire life. So you know what? Your opinion is nothing. So just zip it.
And we need to say that to everybody. I feel like home is the heart. There are our biggest critics. Okay. Like, my kids are my biggest haters. Like, there is no, I guarantee, like, they'll go a lifetime without reading my books or my podcast, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, it'll never be anything. And if I've ever remember a point asking anyone in my family about, you know, I'm a big dreamer, like, I wanted to be a writer, and they're like, no, this is probably not going to work out. I mean, what? And I make it a point now. Like, I've always said, like, I'm not going to put my kids in a box. There's no boundary. Do whatever you want, dream big, get crazy. And then it's funny, because it's my son telling me, like, I just recorded a podcast that I was talking about this today. He loves to sing, he has a great voice. I'm like, you should start a band, like, you should make a thing out of this. And he's like, that's not lucrative, that's a dumb dream. And I'm like, yeah. Generation. Isn't it wild?
That's crazy. You should be all over that.
Exactly. And you know what?
Even if it doesn't become lucrative and you're not super famous,
yeah,
if you're loving it, you're enjoying it.
I know.
Do what you love to do. Don't listen to other people.
Yep. That's what I'm saying. At home, kids are your biggest haters, and your friends and family, if they are not living the life you want, bounce. I say it all the time. You have to separate yourself from how you were raised, who you were raised by, what your childhood was like. You have to cut that off and create your own belief system, your own core values. Right. What do you like? You know, especially working with women, it blows my mind how many of them have no idea. They have no idea what they want. And we can, you know, it blows my mind.
And it's so important to, like, try new things, right? Like, just try new things. And even if I, one time years ago, I was like, maybe I should be a coder, because coders make really good money.
Yeah.
And so I took a free online coding course. So it didn't cost me anything, because there's so many free courses out there.
Yep.
And very quickly I learned there is no way I would ever be a coder.
Like, it but is I finished not even the course. English.
I finished it. But ironically, so fast forward, like, I don't know, 10 years later, maybe not quite.
Yeah.
I have different websites, and I've owned websites and sold them. And it's amazing how some of that coding
stuck
I have
with you.
Used, and it stuck with me. And I remember going back, I'm like, okay, I mean, just in some basic stuff, but then also enough to know I don't know enough, and I'm going to hire somebody to fix this problem.
Exactly.
And it's been beneficial, but sometimes it's trying new things just to eliminate.
Yeah.
As well.
Exactly. I love that.
Because I get overwhelmed, because I know I can do anything.
Yeah.
And everything. Yep. But the problem is I only have 24 hours in a day and I have to prioritize what I really want to do. And so for me, it's not, I don't know what I want. It is, what is the most important and what do I need to focus on? Because it's what I really enjoy. And the same thing, I have certain friends that I go to and I talk to about certain things. Mm-hmm. So one with traveling, another one of my best friends has the website Girl About the Globe. She's traveled to over 100 countries solo. And so when I am having issues with travel or feeling lonely or stuff going on with that, because if I talk to some of my friends, they're like, you're traveling to how many countries? Lonely? Oh, boo-hoo. But when I talk to her, she's like, no, I get it. Okay, you need to like have a day to do this or make sure you go out or sign up for whatever's going on, go on a hiking, you know, and she gets it because she's been there. And what you don't know, and you don't understand unless you've experienced it.
And so you can't experience it if you're not willing to try.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the variety of friends. Yes, that is. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got this globally. Variety of friends. I love that variety you probably friends. Could call anyone anywhere. What is something that keeps you up at night?
Something that keeps me up at night. Oh my gosh. I mean, there's. I mean, in a way, I want to say nothing because I'm pretty level because I know that there's certain things that I don't have control over. And so staying up and worrying about it, it does me no good at all. Really, right now, my mom is at stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And so that's like a personal thing that it's tough to go through. And, you know, it's just a tough thing to be going through and having no control and not knowing. So there's kind of, I guess, really those things that I have no control over, because the other aspects, if I think of my life, whether it's business, where I live, where I'm at, mm-hmm. Who I'm talking to, like I have control over those things. And I mm-hmm. know if I'm not happy with something or if something's not going the way I want, then there's people to reach out to, whether it's friends or I just hired some people for a coaching and consulting program to take my mm-hmm. business to the next level, because I was doing okay. And I was like, okay, but I'm kind of stagnant. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I know that there's things that I could be doing and they've been around for a long time. They know. So again, they know what I don't know mm-hmm. or would take me longer to figure out. And so I've just started working with them. So I'm like, okay, I know that's what I need to do to get to go to the next level. And so those are things that I know I can find people for. So, you know, and it's tough because you want to, also, I need to be careful that I don't go down the rabbit hole of the world is turning to shit, because it's an easy rabbit hole to go down, whether we think of politics in many countries, wars going on in many countries, bombings, it's an easy rabbit hole to go down everything is going bad. But that's one thing that I love about my travels and all the places mm-hmm. that I go to. It's because I know there's so many good and so much good in all of those mm-hmm. places. And if we don't, you know, if I don't start watching, like I rarely watch the news. I like to have general knowledge of what's going on.
Yeah.
But I also know that there's so much more good going on. Yep. And so to focus on those things, because otherwise, we can stay up at night going down those rabbit holes of things that we have no control over.
Mm-hmm. And I know people that are allowing outside circumstances, you know, to make them sick. I know we have listeners that are struggling with that. And the truth is, anybody can wake up and find anything. It's that intention. You're putting that intention of knowing that you're mm-hmm. going to find the good in the world. So that's going to be exactly what comes to you and what attracts you. That's it. You've calibrated yourself with the intention of good. And so whether you're never going to leave your hometown or you want to go to a bunch of different countries, you have to have intention on your focus, on your perspective. What do you want to see? I guarantee you could go to a lot of countries and see hell on earth. You can see horrible people because they're mm-hmm. everywhere.
Everywhere.
You can see that. Mm-hmm. But it's a matter of choosing. And the more we can all just have that intention and calibrate to the good in the world, calibrate to the people that are making an impact, the people that are making a difference, the more we calibrate to that, the bigger difference we're making, because that shit's contagious.
Absolutely. And just to add to that, and there's so many easy ways to do it. If you're scrolling on Instagram or TikTok or whatever, it's stopping and actually liking things that are good, liking things that are positive. I don't get a lot of negative stuff in my feeds anymore, because every time, even when I stop, I know the algorithm knows when I've stopped to read something. And like I'll slow down and read something really quick or skim, but I'll stop and I'll like things that are good news, things that I want to hear about, things that I find that are interesting. So those are the things that come in, because once even that one like on something might be, you know, then you start to get more and more of it. Mm-hmm. So you have to be really conscious about what you're liking, what you're commenting on, and what you're even slowing down to watch or read.
So it's that train wreck, right? You guys wonder why you're attracting so much drama, why you're seeing the negative stuff. How come you're catching all the celebrity gossip? Like, I don't know what's going on in the world of celebrity gossip, because I don't watch, I don't look for it, and I won't slow down for it. Like, it's a big eye roll for me. No, thanks. I don't need to comment.
And I always say, yeah, exactly. And I always say too, like, I know people that'll tell me stuff and I'm like, oh, I don't know. And honestly, I don't care. Exactly. Like, I don't care what Adele is doing or what, oh my gosh, I'm just pulling blanks because I just don't even follow or watch anybody. Or like, I don't care. And you know what? It has nothing to do with me. It does not affect my life at all. Even with sports, watch sports, great. But to know who had like statistics and this and this or that, or what's going on in their personal life. And I say to people, I'm like, who cares?
Yeah.
Like if your team, they're like, ooh, our team won or the team lost. It does not affect, unless you're betting, and you shouldn't be doing that unless you can afford to lose the money.
Exactly.
But it has absolutely nothing to do with you and should have zero effect on your life. So who cares? If you want to go watch a game or you want to watch a concert because it's entertainment and you enjoy it for that moment, perfect. Go do that. We need to enjoy for entertainment. But to get mad, to get upset, to know more about somebody's famous than you do about your own community or what's going on in the lives of the people around you is ridiculous.
Everybody's so worried about everything outside themselves because they don't have to look at what they're doing or not doing. So it's a nice deflection. We're just putting, you know, worrying about other people so we don't have to own our shit. And if you don't own your shit, you're going to stay stagnant. And I know nobody
and
listening
take
to
no
this
responsibility.
Is okay with, exactly. I know that, you know, a lot of people are not okay with mediocre. We have this innate desire for more. I think that's ingrained in us. And the more we try to numb that and ignore it, like, you're going to make yourself sick, physically sick. Your body keeps the score. So you're
absolutely. Just... And it's not the more materialistically more. Like, and they've done studies, once we hit a certain amount, and I have no idea what the number is now because of inflation, but you're not twice as happy if you've got double the money.
Right.
More is absolutely living the lifestyle you want, having the things you want, not even having to worry about paying your bills. But then the more becomes helping others, being part of the community, helping to improve things. Like, many studies have been done where they say, okay, here's $100, go buy yourself something. They come back, how do you feel? And they're like, oh, great, it's good. The next day, how do you feel? Fine, whatever. But when it's you take that same $100 and you have to do something good with it. You have to buy somebody else something. You have to do something. People feel way better, and they feel better longer when they've helped other people and have done more for others than being selfish for ourselves.
And that's one of the secrets. That's a secret hack, is that, you know, you can't skip the steps and you have to work on yourself. You have to work on your self-love. You have to work on your confidence. And once your cup is full, then it's about pouring into other people. And I'm, you know, literally today I'm thinking about how much I've transformed. And just the beginning of this podcast, when I first started, it's been over a year. I'm almost at 300 episodes, and I think about who I was. It's night and day difference. It is night and day difference. And who I was then was like, I want people to see me. I want to be heard. I just wanted, it was about me, you know? And I did a lot of things. I was on the wrong track. I was not aligned with God. I was not, you know, I never gave Jesus the wheel. And I pretty much walked away from everything because I knew I was on the wrong path, but I stayed on the podcast. Something called me to keep recording. And I wake up one day and I'm like, that this isn't about me anymore. And so I'm excited about bringing on other people and basically making it about them, their stories. I think at this point, my listeners are my kids and they're just like not listening anymore. I'm telling them and they need to hear it from someone else because mom is stupid. Okay. So I want this to be impactful. And I felt like, you know, bringing other people in is key. And whatever you're doing in life, if you help other people, you get what you want. You get the fulfillment. Yeah. You get the joy. I have enjoyed the shit out of these conversations after a crazy transition. I ended up, you know, being a stay-at-home mom after getting, I love bartending. Okay. I'm just going to put it out there. These guys know that. I got to do that for a year and a half after being a stay-at-home mom for 20 years.
So much fun.
Yeah.
I used to do it too. It's so much fun.
Oh my God. It's so much fun. Mm-hmm. And I had to quit. I had to become a stay-at-home mom again. And like the wind was knocked out of me. And I was like, this sucks. And I could run with that perspective or figure out what will work for me. Right. Like, number one, I love being home with my babies. I love my kids. I homeschool. I'm 24/7 mom. I'm here. Okay. Part of bartending was me getting to get outside of that for a minute, like take off the mom hat so I could breathe. This now has been that fulfilling moment, like getting to meet people like you, Sally, who's literally going all over the world to make an impact. I want people to know who you are. I want people to follow your story. I want people to share in the impact you make. I want them to get your book and to make a difference. If one person gets your book and gets their finances in order and can keep money out of the hands of the government, I'm like, hell yeah, we did our job.
Right.
It's about Absolutely. Other people.
It is. And it's helping, like, again, it comes back to the, we don't know what we don't know.
Yep.
And so it is helping people. And now it's so much easier to help people now because of the internet, because of YouTube, because of podcasts, because of all of these things. Because before we would just learn from what the newspaper or the local news and then school, and that was it. So we were very limited. But now it's so much easier to share and to help people. And it really does. It not only makes us feel better when we help people, but knowing that that's helped to make a difference for them in their life. And then we have no idea what that ripple effect does for the people around them, their friends, their family, or the other people in between. I remember one time I had a conversation. I ran into a girl. I didn't even recognize her. She's like, oh, we worked together at this restaurant, you know, 10 or 15 years prior. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't remember. And I felt so bad. And she said, you know, you had a car and you leased the car and you told us, like me and a few other people, she's like, never lease a car. It's always best to save up, buy something, never have lease payments, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, that has stuck with me my entire life.
I was like,
what? She's like, yeah, I've never leased a car. I bought this, I have this. And she's like, and you're right. It makes sense. And I just thought that was so crazy from something I said when I was probably 18 to 20 years old. And it had an effect on her and a ripple effect to others as well. So we really have no idea. And that was just something so little and simple, but I mean, there's so many things.
Mm-hmm. And you're making one, whether you're doing something or not, you are impacting someone, whether it's to help them complete that limiting belief to close the deal on, limiting belief. I can't do shit because nobody around me is doing shit. You're not breaking the generational cycle of, you know, not doing shit, or you're going to come and do something different. You've inspired someone. You are always making an impact. So if you're just sitting on your couch, you're not stepping into your power, you're not sharing your story, you're not willing to become the best version of you, you're not willing to live your best life, your impact's not so great. That sucks.
Yeah. And it's sad because I have another saying too, like life is as short and as amazing. Even if you live like two people live to their 100 years old. For one, life was so short and amazing and wonderful. And it went by so fast because they loved it and enjoyed it. The other person, it was long and painful and awful because they didn't do the things that they wanted to do or enjoyed or were willing to get off the couch or get out of their comfort zone. Same 100 years.
Yep.
And it can be amazing and fast or long and painful. And it just depends on you.
I love that. I love that. And I think we all can relate to that. We all have someone in our lives we can look at and see they live their best life or they didn't, and they're still stuck in their own prison. And it's sad to see people go out like that, to go out struggling so hard. Even just to watch the people, but we should learn from that. You know, there's the best way you're going to be able to honor your mom in her journey, right, is for you to continue to live your best life. That's leading a legacy of love, leading a legacy of, you know, empowerment for people around you, because not everybody is getting that chance. Not everybody has stepped into that opportunity. So tell me a little bit before we wrap up today about your podcast as well, Global Citizen Life.
So with Global Citizen Life, it's a podcast where I talk with other people who have moved abroad. And for a variety of reasons, some have followed their spouses. And so they've had some different challenges because they were kind of, you know, I don't want to say didn't have a choice, but they made the decision to follow. And some of them have had to give up their careers or start new careers. Some of them were single like me and traveling or have moved for love because they were with that. And it really talks about some of the challenges that people have had, the things that they've gone to, and they're from all different countries going to all different countries. And so the different experiences they've had, I had one lady that stands out. She's amazing. And she first moved to China about 17 years ago or something like that. And she hated it at first. But then she's like, no, we're going to stick it out. She's like, I've only been here for a year. I took Chinese in school for a reason. And she toughed it out. And she said by about year two or year three, she absolutely loved it. Met her husband. Then he moved there as well. And then when COVID hit, like they were there for about 15 or 17 years. And she's like, I was going to live in China forever. So like, I loved my community. My kids were so safe. And all of a sudden COVID. And she said within 3 weeks, they had to up and move with their four kids and deal with a whole bunch of stuff. And they ended up moving to Mexico. She's like, I've never been to Mexico a day in my life. They've now been there for 2 years and they're loving it. And just such a journey and just the roller coaster of emotions and everything to people just saying, you know, I'm from the United States. I live part-time in Mexico. Or they're from Canada. I hate winter, living in Mexico and things like that. And just so for all kinds of reasons. So that's been the main part of the podcast for the last about a year or so. I think we've got about 60-ish episodes post just once a week right now. And then what I'm going to do in addition to that is start getting into some more of the aspects of moving abroad or investing internationally and talking about different types of trusts and different types of residency programs and just different things that are going on in the world. Because for people who follow, they know that rules have recently changed in Portugal about being able to invest and move there. And rules are always changing. I mean, even in North America, when you fill out your taxes, there's something like, I think I read one, it was somewhere between 30 and 80 tax laws change every single year. So when people say, well, the laws might change in another country, it's but they also change in our home countries as well. Like they all do change. But it's just to keep people informed because nobody wants to read through that tax book. And I don't either. And so I work with a group of people that are experts in different things and bring on immigration lawyers so they can talk about different things as well for immigration to different countries, because again, it's specific to each country. And just to let people know, there's so many options out there and things can be tailored for anybody's specific needs, right? There's no two people that are the same, and there's lots of different opportunities in every country for depending upon what you want and your situation.
I love this. Thank you, Sally, for coming on here. Thank you for stepping into your potential and power for living your best life. What is your favorite quote or best piece? I know words. Piece of advice that you would want to leave to the listeners today?
Life is short. You are going to die. The question is, will you really live?
Oof. And listen, bitch, dream big. Life is too short to play small. Embrace who God called you to be. Own your shit and be brave as you step into your full potential as a co-creator. Until next time, love yourself in this moment. Flawed, beautiful. Brandon Lynette here reminding you of your potential with a side of chaos. You are in the arena. Keep swinging. Sally, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It was my pleasure to be here.